Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. First Corinthians chapter number 1, we'll read verse number 18. Well, I like to hear the leaves of the Bible. The house of God is a place where the Word of God is, and I'm glad that you can bring the Word of God and the Scriptures and can follow along. Read with me, if you would, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse number 21, the latter part. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I want us to think this morning upon the subject of the blessing of the cross. Or I guess we could put it the blessing of the preaching of the cross. Here the Apostle Paul writes to this troubled church, Corinth. He says, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolish. The world today that is outside of the fold and the grace of God is a foolish thing for you and I to gather here today and to have someone stand behind a wooden desk and we call a pulpit and for us to sing the songs of Zion and to hear the Scriptures and the prayer request. It's foolishness to them. But the Bible says, unto us which are saved. Well, I'm glad this morning I'm of that group. To us that are saved, it is the power of God. And God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. I like the play on words that the Apostle Paul gives. He talks about how that preaching is foolish to the world, but he now tells us that God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. There has always been an attack upon the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. From the very time that He died some 2,000 years ago upon that cross, down through the centuries, there have been many that have been offended by the preaching of the cross. That offense sometimes has been culminated in harsh attacks against the child of God. In different countries across this world, the preaching of the cross has not only brought attacks, but it has brought death. It has brought dismemberment. It has brought tearing down and destroying of homes and churches just simply because of the preaching of the cross. Paul says in Galatians that there is an offense of the cross. There are some people that it will not change no matter what you say or what you do. There are some people that just simply are offended by the cross of Calvary. The reason for that offense is because they are not saved. They do not understand. They are living in a different world. They have a different view of the world. They have a different view of life. They certainly have a different view of death. And they probably do not have much of a view of eternity. And so therefore, when someone comes along and begins to preach to them about their sins and their wrongdoings and their guilt before God, and it's because of one that died upon the cross that will bring them to a realization of their need, then they become offended because they feel that you are attacking them personally. Well, my friend, it's not a personal attack, but it is a spiritual attack. It is an attack of spiritual ways and thoughts and ideas. And so the Apostle Paul says here, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolish, but to us, those of us that are saved, thank God it is the power of God and the power of God to salvation. In our own country, there are battles that rage continually because of that emblem of the cross. There is that potential always lawsuit and bringing about action against someone that would publicly display some form of religion. Our society is rapidly, as we noticed last Sunday, our society is rapidly becoming anti-God. It's not just that we forget God. It is that we are becoming anti-God. And we're seeing more expressions of that antagonism before the people of the Lord. I'm sure you have heard this week and maybe in weeks before, but there's a battle that has been raging for some time concerning a cross that stands out in the Mojave Desert. It was placed there in 1934 in commemoration of Americans who died in World War I. That old metal cross stands there as an emblem of those that suffered and gave their life for our country. But in 2001, there's a visitor to that park out in the middle of nowhere. You do not just stumble upon that cross. It's out in the middle of the desert. But it was for some time upon federally held land. And so in 2001, a park visitor came and saw that, and he sued and said it was a violation of the First Amendment Establishment Clause because it conveyed a message of endorsement of religion. How foolish that is. When the cross was challenged, Congress passed a law that transferred that land that that cross stood upon to the VFW, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, who have maintained it for all these years. The cross is only 5 feet tall, so about that tall. It stands upon an old rock. Nothing beautiful about it. No greenery around it. It's just standing upon an old rock. And it's located there in the desert and has been for decades with no complaints until recently. Again, this is just another idea or another action that we see that's permeating our country and bringing us or taking us farther and farther away from the reality of God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Romans 1 says they became vain or foolish in their imagination. And they did that which was right in their own eyes. And so Congress transferred this parcel of land to the VFW precisely to avoid the church and state argument or challenge. Yet the battle rages on. I'm sure if you listened to any news in the past couple of weeks, you saw that old area there where the cross stands and has a plywood box around it. I looked at that and I thought, my, what a tragedy it is for our country that was founded upon the freedom of religion, the freedom to worship and to serve God. What a tragedy it is to have a cross that stands there not for a religion, but for a commemoration of the thousands of young men that died in World War I. 1934, they placed that cross there. Boy, we've come a long way since 34, haven't we? But I'm glad at least this week we had a partial victory and the cross now is not covered. The Supreme Court in a 5-4 decision permitted this box cross to remain on that land and take the box off. Praise the Lord. The devil has made the cross a burden. He's made it a blight to many people, even to the extent of banishment. As I watched and looked at that, I thought about the song that we sang. On a hill far away stands an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross for the dearest and blessed, for a world of lost sinners was slain. Thank God for the cross. On that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, boy, how true those words are, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see, for 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. To the old rugged cross I'll ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then He'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And Paul says, the preaching of the cross is foolish to those that do not believe. As we think about this decision that's made this week, I thought about on a hill far away stands an old metal cross covered with plywood where no one can see. But I love that old cross, what it represents, where the many died in Europe to keep me free. To that old metal cross, we should always review. Our heroes should never be forgotten. Their suffering and pain, which they endured, no matter what country where they stood. This week uncovered the old metal cross. There were some judges, the truth they knew. They did not want to have such a loss. So many rejoice today, not just a few, that the old metal cross is back in view. But I'll tell you what, that cross that stands in the Mojave Desert is nothing compared to the cross that we preach. In the Old Testament, we see the prophecy and the preparation for the cross. Everything in the Old Testament points you up to the point of the dying of the Lamb. Even from the time of Abraham and Isaac, as they go up the mountain to the offering of Isaac, and Abraham said, I and the lad will go and we shall come again. And Isaac said, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire, but where's the lamb? Well, I'm glad I know where the lamb is. And he said, God will provide himself a lamb. So the Old Testament was a preparation and a prophecy concerning the cross. In the Gospel, we see the performance of the cross. In the book of Acts, we see the preeminence of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. As those disciples, early believers, as they were scattered around the world, they preached Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the Apostle Paul says that to those that perish, it's foolish, but to those of us that are saved, it is the power of God. In the book of Romans, we see the power of the cross, for the power of the gospel brings salvation. And here in 1 Corinthians, we find the preaching of the cross. I believe there's probably no more important subject. And when you come to doctrines of the Bible, you can't put different thoughts of ideas of what's most important because you've got to have all of them. But if we do not have the preaching of the cross in our society, if we do not have the preaching, and by the way, if you preach the cross, you preach the gospel. For the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so if we're preaching the gospel, we are preaching the cross that the world despises. And they reject it, they hate it, and they fight against it. But that is our desire, and that is the call that God has given to us, to preach the gospel and to preach the Word of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And so the preaching of the cross is sort of like a salute that we give to our Savior. He is the one that we remember what He did for us that day. When the light of the world was hung upon the cross and then darkness prevailed upon this earth. And I hear the Son of God as He cries from the cross of Calvary, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And later on in that day we hear Him say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? That is all the salute of the preaching of the gospel or the cross of Calvary. It is a recognition of what Jesus did for us that day and how He suffered and bled and gave His life that we might live one day eternally for Him. It shows us a idea that we come rejoicing because of the preaching of this cross. I'm glad that I can say with assurance in my life and understanding that I've heard the preaching of the cross all my life. I mean, there hasn't been a year gone by that I have not heard somebody preach upon the cross of Calvary. And there's no better subject, there's no greater subject then we realize that when we preach the cross of Christ, we are saluting our Savior and we are giving homage to Him that He rightly deserves as our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember what He did. We recognize what He did. We repent of our sins and we rejoice because of salvation. And Paul said, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Every person that's ever believed, God has saved them. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of Christ. And anyone that comes to Him, He will in no wise cast them out. And so we have the understanding, we have the joy, we have the benefit or the blessing of the preaching of the cross, how it salutes our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because of what He has done for us. And each of us this morning that are in this building, that we're born again, we certainly can salute our Lord and salute our Savior and rejoice in the old rugged cross as an emblem of suffering and shame. What a wonderful message we have, the preaching of the cross. It also separates us in society. The Bible tells us in verse number 18 here, "For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But to the believer, we find it's the power of God." So we find foolish to the unbeliever, faith to the believer. It separates us in our society. We are Americans. I'm proud to be an American. I thank God for America. But I'll tell you what, I'm glad, thank the Lord, I'm a believer. A child of the King. And the preaching of the cross is foolish to the unbeliever, but it brings faith to the believer. It draws the believer, but it drives the unbeliever away. The preaching of the cross is a stumbling block to the unbeliever, but it's a stepping stone to you and I. It's a foundational, pivotal stone that we have. The cross and its preaching is a darkness to the unbeliever, but it's a light to the glorious message of Jesus Christ. It is a waste of time for the unbeliever, but it's a way for the believer. It's a vile thing to an ungodly, God-hating and God-denying person. It's vile to them to talk about a cross. But to you and I this morning, we know that we have victory because of Jesus. So we find that the preaching and the blessing of the cross is a thing that separates us in society. We are an American, but first and foremost, we are a child of God. We are a believer. We trust in Christ. And we live in this world of ungodliness. We live in this world of darkness. But we, the Bible says, we are to have a light that we put upon a hillside. And that light we do not put upon a bushel and hide the light, but we are to shine the light in our society. Society doesn't like that. And so therefore the preaching of the cross will separate us from some. I don't know about you, but I've had folks that just didn't like me because of being a Christian. No other reason. Everything's fine until they find out you go to church. Everything's fine until they find out you really, well, you're a fanatic. You go all the time. Well, you go Sunday night. You go Wednesday night too. Yeah, and I go Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday if you have a meeting. We go to church. And that's a problem to the unbeliever. Their mind just cannot comprehend that. It's a stumbling block to them because of their unbelief. And it's vile to them. Who would have thought a few years ago that a man walking through a desert would look at a cross and be so moved by it that he'd bring lawsuit because it establishes a religion? I've seen a lot of the pictures of that cross, and I've never seen anybody out there worshiping it. Who would have ever thought that just an emblem, and by the way, all that is an emblem. It is not the cross that saves us, but it's He that died on the cross that saved us. The cross is an emblem where He died. It's the point of the death penalty upon Him. And there He suffered, bled, and died. And why would that cross be such an offense to a person? It's because they hate what it stands for. They hate what he believes. They hate what the Scripture teaches. They hate to accept the idea that they're a sinner. And they certainly hate the idea that somebody would tell them they're going to hell if they don't get saved. That is the offense of the cross of Calvary. So the preaching of this cross not only salutes our Savior and gives Him recognition, but it separates us in society. It makes us stand out sometimes as a sore thumb. It makes us stand up and stand out, and like we put a neon light up on us, and they do not want us because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not be too concerned about that or too surprised, because the Lord said the preaching of the cross is foolish to them that perish. It's foolish. It's strange. Why, it's a laughing matter. Who would believe? Who would talk about somebody dying on a cross? We do. But to those that are unbelievers, very, very foolish. The third thing the preaching of the cross or the blessing of the cross does is that it stabilizes you and I. It makes us have some stability. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Just a few verses over, chapter 2. Here we find what Paul says. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not in excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." There's that cross again. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul says here, "I preached the cross of Christ, Him and He crucified," not that your faith would be in the wisdom of men, but that it would be in verse number 5 there, but in the power of God to stabilize us, to give us some understanding, some stability about our Christian walk with God. In verse number 1 here, we find that Paul makes a declaration. He said, "I came to you not with an excellency of speech, nor of the wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God." He said, "I'm making a declaration to you. I didn't come to you in the wisdom and great speech and great excellency of words." He said, "But I am determined," in verse number 2, "for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul says to this church of Corinth, the aim of his life and of his ministry while he was there was to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, "I did not desire enticing words. I did not desire words of wisdom. I came to you with preaching Christ and Him crucified." That should be that which stabilizes us. He says in verse number 3, he says, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." I'll tell you what, sometimes to stand for God, it takes some courage. It's not all fun and games. It's not all Kool-Aid and popsicles. And Paul said, "I came to you and I preached to you." And he said, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." Paul said it wasn't easy. By the way, it might not be too easy for you to stand for the glories of God at your workplace or where you do your business or who you work beside or who you go to school with. It may not be easy, but it has to be done. And Paul said, "I didn't come with those great words of wisdom, but came with fear and trembling." Look at verse 4. He says, "But in demonstration of the Spirit." We preach on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It should be because of the Spirit of God that demonstrates Himself within us, through us, telling people that there is a Savior, there is a Lord. His name is Jesus. He died on the cross for you. And if you do not accept Him, you'll die and go to hell. Well, that'll get me in trouble. So be it. Now, I know there's a right time, the right way. I understand that. We better understand we must demonstrate the power of God. We must demonstrate that we have the Holy Spirit lives within us. We don't do it by our own strength. We don't do it by enticing words. I know some preachers that need to take that for what it's worth and just preach the gospel. Just preach the message of salvation of Christ and Him crucified. Paul said, my desire was that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. I'll tell you one thing, if your faith stands only in the wisdom of men, your faith will fall. If you're standing only on the enticing words that you can have or hear, then your faith will falter. We must have our faith grounded firmly, deeply in the Word of God. To stand the test of time, to stand the struggles that come our way. And the preaching of the cross will stabilize the child of God. And Paul said, that's why I came to you, not with the excellence of speech and wisdom, not with enticing words. He said, I came in demonstration of the Spirit of God and the power of God. And buddy, that'll stabilize you. The world has no stability about it this morning. But this book is stable. It does not shake. It does not tremble. It does not rock under the pressure. The Word of God standeth sure. And all we have to do is believe it and preach it and tell the world that Jesus saves. The preaching of the cross is a salute to our Savior. The preaching of the cross will separate us in society. The preaching of the cross will stabilize us as believers. And the preaching of the cross will save sinners. Every one of us in here this morning that can give testimony that I'm going to heaven when I die is because somebody preached to us the cross. It didn't just happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, Paul now is writing, we know, to brethren, to believers. 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He arose again the third day according to the Scripture. I'm glad this morning it's according to the Scripture. The preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the preaching of the gospel will save old sinners. It'll save boys and girls. It'll save men and women. It'll save young and old. It'll save rich and poor. It'll save red, yellow, black and white. It's the preaching of the cross that makes the difference. It is that preaching that delivers us unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says here it's the preaching of the gospel. And then he gives us what the gospel is, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. The plan of the gospel is found here that I preach unto you. That's the plan. He saves us. You see, God does everything by plan and order and design. God doesn't do anything by haphazard chance. We went to the Creation Museum this week and we found out that our universe in which we live is not by haphazard chance. It's by order and by design. And the preaching of the gospel is a plan that God has given, and He has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that will believe. That's the plan that God gives. The power of the gospel is to bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ, by which also ye are saved. I like that biblical term, saved. You must be born again. You've got to be changed. There is a conversion that takes place. These are all terms that we have and that gives us the plan of the gospel. That we don't just happen to be a Christian. We're saved because one day somebody preached to us the gospel and preached to us the cross of Calvary. And that He loved us and died for us and gave Himself that we might have life through His name. That's the plan that God has given. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I'm a whosoever. Somebody says, who can get saved? Whosoever. Well, who's that? Well, if you've been saved, you're whosoever. You've been born again. You belong to Him. Somebody preached to you the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It doesn't just take place. Here we find the gospel, the burial, death, burial, resurrection. Here we find the preaching of the cross that is so hated by this world will bring salvation to sinners. It'll bring satisfaction to the believer. It'll bring substance and stability to the child of God. The preaching of the cross to them that are foolish, it's foolish to them to hear preaching. But the preaching of the cross to you and I, you know what it does to us? It satisfies us. I'm satisfied with what the Lord's done for me. Now, I'm sure He's not satisfied with everything I've done for Him. He's not satisfied with everything I'll do for Him today. But I can truly say to you this morning, I'm satisfied with what He did for me. He didn't have to do it. He didn't find a little spark of divinity in this old soul. He didn't find something good in my life that would say, well, I believe He'd be a pretty good fella. No, He saw me in the depths of my sin. He saw me as bad as I could be because I was a sinner, as bad as I could be. There's no good sinner, little sinner, big sinner, bad sinner. We're sinners. And God saw us all that way, yet He loved us. He loved us because He took upon Himself the form of a man and became a man, Christ Jesus. And He is that one that went to the cross that the world despises. But you know what? It satisfies the believer. It satisfies the saint of God. In the cross, the burial, the death, the burial, resurrection, the gospel, we have our redemption and our regeneration given to us that we are saved, going to heaven. For those of us that are saved, it is the power of God. Here we find Paul says that it pleased God by preaching. No, no, no. It pleased God as far as the world was concerned by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And I can truly say this morning, I'm satisfied with my God. He is my Redeemer. He's my Regenerator. One day He'll be my ticket out of here. He'll be my rapture. He'll be my resurrection. If I'm living when He comes, He'll be my rapture. If I'm dead and in the ground, He'll be my resurrection. Praise the Lord. I'm satisfied. One of these days we'll have reunion. And all those saints have gone on before us. Can you think this morning of some of your dear friends and loved ones that have already crossed over? What great memories we have. The memories bring tears to our eyes because we're human and we lose and we lost our loved ones. Oh, what a great reunion day that'll be. When once again we'll see mom and dad, and loved ones, and sisters and brothers, friends. Sharon and I were talking yesterday about some of the folks that have gone on to be with the Lord from our church. And we were talking about, well, I miss this one. We'd call their name. And then we said, well, I miss this one too. And before long, we'd call all their names. We missed them all. Oh, they were different people. They had different testimonies, had different lives and different backgrounds. But we had one thing in common. We have the same Lord who died on the cross that we might have life. And in Him, I am satisfied. One of these days, what a reunion that will be. And when all the tears have been wiped away and all the former things of life are done, as Revelation says, the death and graves and all those things are gone. That's the former thing. When all that is said and done and the reunions have been made and our reunion with the Lord and we'll see Him for the first time, then the Lord says, enter into my rest. Not only will we have reunion, but we'll have rest throughout all eternity. Not a whole lot of rest in this world. Not a whole lot of easy things. You get up in the morning, you do your daily chores, and at nighttime, we lay our body down and we try to rest. Sometimes, I've heard a lot of you talk, how many times the phone rang last night, you could not rest. Telling you something that you already knew. If we have one of those weather alert radios that everybody tells us we're supposed to have, you're not going to rest. And there's no way of turning it down because I tried. It goes off and sounds. I mean, if you're asleep, you're going to wake up. And you, as Brother Noble said this morning, and you're afraid to turn it off. Could be blown away and not ever know it. So we go through a night of non-rest. And I'll tell you what, thank God for the child of God, we've got all of eternity. One day we'll rest in Him. Is there a rest? Paul says in the book of Hebrews, there therefore remaineth a rest to the people of God. You know why we're people of God? Because one day we bowed to the one that died on that old rugged cross. An emblem of suffering and shame. The world may box it up. And the world may banish it. But I'll tell you, one day we'll be with Him forever and forever. May God bless our cross. May God help us to give the knowledge of our Savior to a world that does not want to hear about the old rugged cross. But that's what He's told us to do. And therefore, if He's done all this for me, I can surely tell someone about Him. Because on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. Not stands. It's not there now. There's one out in the Mojave Desert that stands. And on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And He that died on that cross is my Savior. Let's stand together this morning.